If you have your Bibles this evening, please open them to Psalm 131. We have a psalm that's three verses long this evening, but it contains so much wisdom. The title this evening is Weaning Our Inner Chaos. And before we start, let's go before the Lord in prayer for insight. Father, we thank you for your word, that another opportunity we have to open up and to gain insight and wisdom on how to better love and serve and worship you. So we pray for the Holy Spirit this evening to open up our hearts and our minds, to retain what your word has to say, and to perform the actions necessary during the week. Lord, asking this in your Son's name. Amen. So Psalm 131, I'll read the three verses. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have been calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So I heard one time a person say a wise saying, and it went like this. The person said that all of the problems that we experience in life, the majority of these problems are a result of our inability to sit in a room quietly with our own thoughts. And I believe there's some truth to this if we think this through. Now, of course, there's some things in life that happen to us that are on the outside. They're exterior to us. They happen to us. There's nothing we can do about that. But that's not what I'm speaking of here. I'm referring to the actions that we take and the choices that we make out of boredom, out of being too anxious, out of being restless and full of ambition. See, the problem is not the external world. We like to think it is. But the problem really isn't the world on the outside. The problem is our hearts on the inside. We create our own internal chaos within ourselves. We try to fill our hearts with all sorts of junk food. We live for our bellies and we're driven by our lusts. We are the ones who are responsible for the internal chaos that we experience in this life. Now, one of the tricks of winning a hot dog contest is to expand your stomach to the point where you can fill it with as many hot dogs as you possibly can. And if you carry that analogy over, we do the same thing in life. We try to consume as much as this of this world as we possibly can. We overvalue what we don't have. We undervalue what God has already given us. And what we'll discover this evening is this. When you forget who you are in Christ, you quit pursuing the things that already belong to you in Him. I'll say that one more time. When you forget who you are in Christ, you quit pursuing the things that already belong to you. Now, the context and the background this evening, Psalm 131, one of the most shortest psalms in the Bible, has one of the most hardest lessons to learn. The author learned this lesson, and he was changed. And he learned how to deal with three things: the inner chaos that is created by our pride, by our arrogance, and by our ambition. All three of these start from within us. We express these in our words, in our thoughts, and in our actions, but they originate from within. The self-absorbed life, trying to get everything that we can, trying to accomplish everything we want to accomplish, no matter what the cost, for our own satisfaction, to be preoccupied so much with the desires of our heart that we're always in the state of chaos within. When God is replaced by our own selfish ambitions, everything else becomes an idol. We become proud, we become arrogant, we become self-absorbed. We enter into that state of never-ending chaos. And notice what the author of Psalm 131 says in verse 1. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. So like the psalmist, most likely David, like the psalmist, none of us start out this way. One of the very first words we learn when we're little is mine. One of the very first phrases we learn is I want. It's natural to our human nature. It takes the majority of our lives to break ourselves from these tendencies, to go from pride to humility, to go from arrogance to meekness, to go from inner turmoil to peace. What does a self-absorbed heart consist of? It consists of wanting approval. It consists of wanting to fit in. It consists of looking down upon people who have not achieved as much as you have. It consists of wanting to achieve your own status. It's a heart that's always on the go, always on the go. Do, 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 more, more, more. It's a lifestyle that's carried along by wherever your desires may lead. We trick ourselves. We say to ourselves, I only want so much. If I just attain this status, if I just have this much money in the bank, if I climb the corporate ladder just to this level, then I'll be fine, then I'll be content, my needs will be met, everything will be good. And for a certain amount of time, we're happy. But what we attain after a specific period of time wears off. It no longer satisfies. So what do? We're in constant pursuit of the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. This is chaos. This is what rules our hearts. When we are driven, when we are motivated, and when we are consumed by our passions, when we are the central focus of our lives, when the noise on the inside of us is louder than the noise on the outside. Because on the inside, you're never quiet. On the inside, you're never at peace. On the inside, you can't sit still. Your mind is always racing. I don't know if you've ever had one of those days where, for me, it's when I'm out in the hot sun and I'm working hard jobs. It rarely happens, but mowing the lawn for me in the summer is hard because the heat gets to me. And maybe I'll chop some wood or I'll do something else. And at bed at night, I'll take a cold shower and I'll lay down. But the room is still spinning. My ears are still ringing. It takes me 2 to 3 hours to get to sleep. I'm restless. Now, that's a physical analogy of what happens in our hearts. When we're so consumed by the things of this world and we're so pursuing the next great thing that we create this internal chaos within us, we can never rest. Our minds are always racing. We can never sleep. So inner chaos comes when we continue to pursue these things. Inner chaos comes when we try to control other people so they do what we want them to do. And I think this is a part of the area which creates so much anxiety with us in politics, because we see the world as it is today. And we want it to be a certain way, but we can't control the way that it is. And one of the means that we can get out and get involved is politically, and it's a good thing. But if we put too much there, we can only control so much. And if we can't control it, it creates anxiety. Inner chaos comes when we're overly paranoid with our own health. Every pain worries us. Every bite of food we take, we think, we're gaining more weight. Every time we look in the mirror, we become more discouraged. Inner chaos comes when we're overly concerned what other people think about us. Do they like me? Do I fit in? And if we are in this category of thinking, we think, my world is not complete until so-and-so acknowledges me. All of these are examples of bondage. All of these are examples of slavery. We're bound. We can't move. We cannot breathe because of the internal chaos that rests within our hearts. But what the psalmist is saying here is that his heart is not like this. His heart is not proud. His heart does not look down upon people and think he's better. It doesn't get lost in the endless cycle of self-gratification. Rather, his soul is calm, his soul is quiet, and his soul is at peace. So we ask ourselves, how does he do it? How did the psalmist attain this type of a heart? How do we go from chaos to stability? How do we remove this pride? How do we remove this arrogance? How do we remove this selfish ambition from within us? The next point we're going to take a look at, stability within our heart. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Who's the psalmist addressing here? Israel. God's chosen people. Who are God's chosen people today? The church, those who have believed in Christ for salvation. So it's the called out people of God that are being addressed. The one whom the Lord has chosen for himself, the one whom the Lord has decided to make a covenantal relationship with, the one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. And the key to our stability rests within the relationship we have with the Lord. To empty ourselves of ourselves and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This ability does not come from us. What comes from us? Chaos. Chaos comes from us. What else comes from us? Ambition, pride. All of these things come from us. So what comes from the Lord? Peace. Peace that the Lord produces. Now notice what's said about this hope. First, this hope, mentioned in verse 3, it exists from this time forth, meaning it's for right now. It was for yesterday, it's for right now, and it will be for tomorrow. So it's to be, this hope is to be experienced in this present time. So our chaotic hearts can be at rest right now. But what this psalm also says is that this hope that we have in the Lord is forevermore. It rests in the security that only God can bring. He is our true source of stability. He is what anchors us to reality. And this hope is to be content and to be resting in the Lord right at this present moment until the day we enter into eternity with him. There should never be a time in our lives where we are not being controlled by this hope. On the contrary, self-sufficient hope will always be a burden too heavy to bear because we will never be able to satisfy what it wants. Because the foundation of self-sufficient hope is you. It's me. It's ourselves. We're the foundation. Your body will eventually fail you. Your mind will eventually cease to work. Your life, at some point, will come to an end, and your heart will never be satisfied. You are not sufficient enough to meet the demands that your heart is seeking after. This world is not sufficient enough to meet the demands that your heart seeks after, and your idols are not sufficient enough either. Now, you might be saying to yourself right now, well, then, why even try? I'm never going to find peace. I'm never going to find happiness. I'm always going to be in this state of turmoil, in this state of agony. And yes, you're correct if you continue to pursue that life of self-gratification. And this is true for unbelievers just as well as it is true for the believer. The believer can get caught up in a selfish lifestyle. The believer can be driven by their own selfish desires as well. But here is where God's grace comes in. Remember the I am statements in the book of John. There's a lot of practical ramifications from the I am statements. Maybe we've heard them so many times that they just go right off the top of our head. We become overly familiar with them. But there is so much that we can anchor ourselves to in the I am statements, such as John 6:35. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Now, coming to Christ means first you deny yourself. Believing in Christ continues even after we have been saved. We believe in order to become saved, but we have to continue on in the relationship that the Lord has created. Now, the hunger and the thirsty person who comes to Jesus will find satisfaction for their hearts and for their souls. This also means that we need to continually depend upon Him for our nourishment. It means that that core emptiness that our sin nature brings, that drives us into despair, has been removed. But we need to continue feasting upon the Lord. He is the source of nourishment. It's spiritual. It's not material. It's through the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's not from our idols. It's not from what other people think of us. It's from being accepted already by Christ Himself. How else does Jesus bring stability within our hearts? John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is the one who truly enlightens us. He is the one who interprets this world for us so we can understand it correctly. We were not created to figure out our own lives. When we do this, we stumble. We don't even see what we trip over half of the time. We don't understand why we have this anxiety or where it's coming from, or even at times that we even have this anxiety. We don't even see it within us. Jesus is the true light source that enlightens us to true spiritual truth. It's like a flashlight to our souls. We can see sin that our own eyes are blinded to. Jesus lights the path. John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Are you searching for a leader, a mentor, somebody to follow, somebody to emulate, a life coach? Well, He's right here. Jesus is saying, this is Him. Everyone else at some point in your life will disappoint. I remember as a kid, looked up to so many different people, so many different movie stars, so many different athletes, so many different teachers and professors. And at some point in my life, as I began to get overly caught up, so to speak, in these people, some scandal would hit the tabloid, they'd do something foolish, and I'd be upset because I put so much into that person, tried to emulate what this person did, how they did it, how they thought, what they thought, and I was patterning myself after somebody who eventually was going to disappoint. Because they're human just like we are. John 10:9 says, "I am the gate. Every other door you try in life is going to lead to a dead end." John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So many times I've spoken with people who have the fear of death. Have you ever been at a funeral? The reality of a funeral, and this is why Ecclesiastes chapter 7 brings this out, why it's good to be at a funeral is because it faces you with the reality of your own mortality, that someday you will die as well. Creates a lot of fear. Creates a lot of chaos within us. Death is something, it's a subject in our country that we most likely just don't want to talk about. We avoid it. We pretend like we're going to go on like this forever, but deep down we know we aren't. It's a severe topic. It's scary to most. Christ is the only guarantee that someday you will be resurrected into glory and to be face to face with Him for all eternity. Outside of Christ, I would have that same type of inner chaos. I wouldn't be able to overcome it. It was a topic I feared when I was a child as well. But once I understood the gospel, the Lord took it away. That inner chaos replaced with peace. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So many options today. So many voices. So many different people to listen to and to turn on and to get advice from. So many religions. So many experts. Saying this, saying that. And what Jesus is saying here is, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that He alone is this source that we are looking for. He is the one who is sufficient. His word is sufficient. No man can take the place of where Christ is. And finally, John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. And what's interesting about the vine is how it all fits together. And that is a huge human need, is to fit in. We want to belong. We crave acceptance and we crave identity. But the key is, where do we look for it from? Do we look for it from the Lord, or do we look for it from this world? And Christ is the true source of fellowship and belonging, which is why the church is so important. We need fellowship. We need to be with each other on the Lord's Day and also during the week if we can make it. We need to be participating with one another, functioning together as the body of Christ. The Lord has redeemed us. The Lord has brought us together. There's a valuable asset there that if we're not participating in, is a huge part of our sanctification and our growth. And if we have inner chaos, if we're suffering from something deep within, this very well could be what we're lacking. We're not together enough. We're not fellowshipping enough. So we start with the chaos from within. We become stable. We become consumed and filled with Christ. Now from this comes the process of growing in His peace. And our final point this evening, peace within our hearts. Look at verse 2. The psalmist says, I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, the newborn child cannot nourish itself. It needs the mother to do this. And the exact same thing is true for you and I, no matter at what age. We cannot fix ourselves. We can recognize our problems from time to time. We can try to put a Band-Aid on our problems. But just like the infant, we need help. Most of our internal chaos comes from trying to control what we can't control, by pursuing things and becoming restless, by occupying ourselves with things too big, things only the Lord can handle. We end up burning the candle at both ends. But the Bible gives us an excellent illustration here, the weaning process. Now, before the weaning process begins, the baby's hungry. The baby's crying. The baby's agitated. The baby doesn't sit still. It wants something. It desires instant satisfaction. The faster the mother acts, the better. Because the baby won't stop crying. And neither will our hearts. Because we were created to worship, and we were created to serve the Creator. And if that's not where our hearts are rested at, like that baby before the weaning, we will always be crying. We will always be desiring instant gratification. We'll never be able to sit still. If we're not doing this, if we're not rounded and gritted in Christ, we're going to end up worshiping something else. We'll never be satisfied. But after the weaning process, how does the baby act? Completely different. The baby can rest. The baby's quiet. The baby takes a nap. It's at peace because there has been a change. The baby received the proper nourishment. The soul has been calmed. And for us, what we look to do is supernaturally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have the selfishness of our heart uprooted, and the love of Christ replacing the love of self. Now, some things to consider this evening. A lot of our problems and a lot of our chaos come from failing to be satisfied with the portion that the Lord has given us in life. We just always seem to be wanting more. We never just rest and say, "Thank you, Lord," and be content. It's something within us. It's the sin. Enjoy what you already have. Realize that the Lord has blessed you more than most people on the planet. Next thing we can do. A lot of inner chaos comes from failing to submit to what the Lord has called us to do. Again, what the Lord has called us to do, we understand this, but we always pursue something more. It's not enough. Most of us are called to what we would label normal jobs, to normal lifestyles, with normal intelligence. That's where the Lord's put you. That's where the Lord has put you. Stay here. Be happy here. He's given you plenty more than we could ever hope or desire to enjoy for the rest of our lives. There's nothing wrong with what we call normal, but the heart always goes after more. Don't fall into the trap of looking over your shoulder, looking over at what your neighbor has, going to a class reunion and seeing what everybody else is doing and where you are. If you're using that as a measuring rod for your life, you're never going to be happy. It doesn't matter what my neighbor has. It doesn't matter what a family member has, my best friend has. If they have more than I do, what I pray to do is give thanks to the Lord that they're blessed, rather than want what they have or desire to have more than what they have. It's interesting, too, how we can try sometimes to get out of our lane, so to speak, and to pursue things that the psalmist said are too high for him to achieve. Remember, I was listening one time to an interview with the actor. Sylvester Stallone said this. He said, in acting, stick to what you're good at. And for him, obviously, it's action movies. And he said, if you talk the way I do, don't audition for Shakespeare. Meaning, what the Lord has given you, be happy, use it to your fullest. Give thanks that he's given you what he's given you. So many times we're pursuing things, like the psalmist said, that are just so out of our reach, just so high for us, but we get enamored by other people's accomplishments. We get inspired by watching a documentary or reading the life story of somebody who was once on the streets and now owns a Fortune 100 company. And these are good things. These aren't necessarily bad things. And if the Lord has put you on that path, great. But if he hasn't, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay content with what he's given you? God has given you your talents. Use them. Rest in them. Be satisfied in them. Be in constant control and monitoring your desires. Take every thought captive. Wait a day or two before acting. Let the ambition wear off. Let your emotions calm down so you can think clearly. How many times do we make rash decisions? We're not thinking things through. Our heart is just in constant turmoil. It's one foolish choice after the next. God is never in a hurry. And in most cases, the things that we're so anxious about can wait. And I'm sure my wife can give you a laundry list of things that I'm like, now, that after a week, after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks, I was like, yeah, you know, that's not a good idea anymore. And she just sits there and smiles. She understands that I can get this way as well. Very patient. I've learned from this. Discern what you want as opposed to what you need. Focus on the small things that need to be done today. We always want the home run swing, when the Lord is giving us simple things, basic things, on a day-to-day basis that He wants us to do. But we neglect these things because we're looking for the one big thing. And like the point I said earlier, when you forget who you are in Christ, you quit pursuing the things that belong to you in Christ. Our identity changes when we do this. Our identity was never meant to be on our idols, our hobbies or our interests, our pleasures or our investments. This is what starts to create that chaos when we stop pursuing the things that Christ has given us and exchange them for the things of this world. This is what creates the chaos. Christ is our identity. We are to find our rest in Him. Let's pray. Lord, Psalm 131, with its three verses, contains so much that we struggle with. And like the psalmist, Lord, his heart was not these things. May that be for our lives as well. May the love of self be replaced of the love of you. And may our peace be found in what you have given us, both in this world, but also spiritually. Lord, that our citizenship is in heaven, and that we realize that the things of this world eventually fade. Lord, help the anxious person. Help the person with inner chaos. Help the person, Lord, who's stuck in their anxiety. With the calming Holy Spirit and with the presence of your word, Lord, transform us deep within our souls. Lord, we give you thanks for loving us. We give you thanks for your word and the fellowship of believers that you have created here in Seventh, in Grand Rapids, in the world, in the universal church. Thank you, Lord, in your Son's name. Amen.